Let's bow in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we wish it would be that we would ever say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That we would never be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us and given us eternal blessings to come. Again, Father, we thank you for being in your presence again tonight. And we pray for the missionaries that we have a part in supporting. We think of Miriam in Portugal, and we think of the pastors in India as well. And the one in Lebanon. We pray, O Lord our God, that for their labors they might see much fruit. For we read in your word, herein is my Father glorified, that Jesus said, when ye bear much fruit. And Heavenly Father, we do pray for the word that has gone forth from their lips, probably early today, or even what Sunday would be to them yesterday. And as the word has gone forth by radio and by television, and from the pulpits across the land and across the world, where there are no pulpits but faithful preachers of the gospel, how we pray that your people might be built up by what they have heard and what they will hear, and that hearts might be touched, that you'll draw your sheep unto yourself and give them eternal life. As we now turn to your word, help us with it, we pray. You know what each one bowed in your presence needs tonight and for the week ahead. We pray, O Lord our God, that you'll minister to each one by your word and by your spirit. And again, we commit to you, our pastor and his family particularly, but all of those that have traveled south this weekend. We do pray that it might be a time of refreshment as they're away, and that they will have safe conduct in coming back. And so we bring these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I announced this morning what the topic for tonight would be. It was interesting. I didn't know that Judas, that we talked about this morning, and Simon Peter, that we're going to talk about tonight, were the subject of a number of questions in the Bible class this morning. And so I hope the study this morning helped, and that this one tonight will do likewise. Title for tonight, The Fall and Restoration of Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter was a saved man. I say that in contrast with Judas that we spoke about this morning. And like all saved sinners, Peter had failings. And honest believers will identify with him in at least some of his failings. He spoke without thinking. He acted impetuously. On one occasion at least, he asked what return was forthcoming for what he had forsaken to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He needed to be taught what constitutes the spirit of forgiveness. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7. He stepped out at the Lord's command on the waves, only to have his eyes diverted from Christ by the wind, and he began to sink, having taken his eyes off the Lord. Do some of these things sound familiar to us? Do we see ourselves in Peter in his worst failing and his fall, as I've entitled it? We go back to the upper room. We go back to the Last Supper. In Luke 22, verses 24 to 30, reports a contention, a strife among the 12 disciples in that upper room. And the contention had to do with who among them should be accounted the greatest in the kingdom. In view of what follows, it's difficult not to think Peter was in the center of that dispute. So that they would stop disputing, the Lord Jesus taught them that the greater is the one that serves. And he demonstrated that very thing by rising from the table and beginning to wash the disciples' feet, as recorded in John chapter 13. And then verse 6 of John chapter 13, Peter questioned, "Dost thou," and it's really stronger than that, "dost you yourself wash my feet?" And Jesus told him that he didn't understand the significance of what the Lord Jesus was doing, but would understand it later. But he wasn't really submitting to the Lord. And he was discounting what the Lord had said, as if he knew better than the Lord. Peter, in verse 8 of that chapter, used some very, very strong language. No way forever. No way forever will you wash my feet. Jesus explained it was symbolic of Peter's relationship to himself, not really understanding, but if washing showed his relationship with the Lord Jesus, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. There was an air of superiority about what Peter said. I think of a chap, I'm not sure where he's living now or if he's still living. We called him Papa Joe. He was an old farmer. And I didn't figure out whether he purposely massacred a word or did it because he was uneducated, but he would say, "Some people have an altitude problem. And he got his point across, even though he used a word different from what we would use. Peter had an altitude problem. I want to speak for a moment about Jesus' solemn warning. After Judas departed, incidentally, I meant to mention it this morning, Satan entered into Judas after he was criticized by the Lord Jesus for criticizing Mary of Bethany's anointing. The Bible says Satan entered into him. Satan also entered into him when Jesus had given them the sop. The first time he went out and he bargained for the betrayal of the Lord Jesus. When he was given the sop, Satan entered into him and he went to carry out what he had bargained for. But here the Lord Jesus gave Peter a solemn warning. Judas went out to carry out the betrayal of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus had told the disciples that the crucifixion was at hand. And he told them that they would all be offended at the Lord Jesus, or because of the Lord Jesus, that night. And he did so by quoting Zechariah 13 and verse 7. And that's the verse that, "Awake, O sword, against my fellow, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." That's the verse that the Lord Jesus made reference to, Zechariah 13 and verse 7. He being the shepherd, the disciples being the sheep. And Jesus addressed Peter particularly in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. And those verses read like this. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," or when thou art turned back, "strengthen thy brethren." And despite the Lord Jesus quoting him scripture from Zechariah and talking about having prayed for him, Peter, although all his disciples were saying, "We'll not be offended because of you," Peter particularly, despite this background, said that he would go to prison, he would go to death before offending in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, though all the rest, I won't. So he contradicted the Lord Jesus Christ. He claimed, in effect, that he had greater devotion for Christ than the other disciples had. And Jesus questioned Peter, John 13, verse 38, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" And then he continued, speaking to Peter, and said that before the cock crows twice tonight, you will deny me thrice. But Peter's response was more vehement. From Mark chapter 14 and verse 31, "If I should die with thee, I will not." Double negative. No way will I deny thee. It would appear that Peter had the upper room in his mind when much later he wrote these verses from 1 Peter chapter 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed about with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Peter in Gethsemane didn't do any better. The Lord Jesus moving to Gethsemane with his 11 disciples, left 8 of them at the gate, moved into the garden itself with Peter, James, and John. They were to provide him with human company while he agonized, as it were. And despite being told to watch with him, he went back after a time and found them sleeping. And he did that twice, and they were sleeping. Mark 14 and verse 37, "He cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch one hour?" Verse 38 in Mark 14, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Well, this took place twice. And a third time he came, and he found that they were sleeping again, and told them to sleep on. But it was Peter particularly that he addressed. The first two times. And in the garden as well, when the arresters came. John chapter 18 and verse 10. Says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear." The servant's name was Malchus. Peter, thus trying to prevent what Jesus said would and must take place. The crucifixion. And after Jesus' arrest, Matthew 26, verse 58, and Mark 14, verse 54, describe Peter as following Christ afar off. Now, we know that that's a physical description of the distance between Peter and the Lord Jesus. But it certainly describes where he was spiritually in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was afar off. And then we go on and speak about Peter's presumptuous sin. Sinning with his eyes wide open, as it were. While Jesus was being tried, Peter was in the courtyard of the high priest's residence, around a fire for warmth. And there he denied having been with Christ and being one of his disciples. He denied knowing him and said, in effect, "I don't know what you're talking about." He entered into a porch in that courtyard, and the cock crew. A little later, he denied being one of Jesus' followers. Again, denied knowing Jesus. And an hour after that, another series of lies from Peter, as he was questioned about the Lord Jesus, about knowing him, about being with him. He was distinctly asked, in effect, "I saw you in the garden," by one. And yet, denials, but this time, sadly, denials with cursing. Swearing. And the Bible tells us that he was still denying when the cock crew the second time, and was still denying when Jesus was being led past where he was during that time of trial. And Luke 22, verse 61 says, "And the Lord Jesus turned and looked upon Peter." A look, no doubt, of compassion. A look, no doubt, that was saying, in effect, "Oh, Peter, why was this necessary?" And Luke 22:61 continued on to say, "And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And verse 62 in Luke 22 says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." He had been warned. He had sinned presumptuously. He was cut to the core. As one has written, he went out alone in bitter and in agonizing repentance. And we do well to use the words of the psalmist in Psalm number 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. There's a hymn in our hymn book, one stanza of which says this: If some poor wandering child of thine have spurned today the voice divine, now, Lord, the gracious work begin. Let him no more lie down in sin. And we go forward now to the Lord's loving message. Resurrection morning. The group of women at the sepulcher. And the heavenly messenger said to the women who were there early in the morning to the empty sepulcher, Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And Peter. You see, here were the gracious words really from the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, to a sheep that had been wayward, but he was still part of the flock. Jesus, in effect, reaching out his arms to Peter. And Peter. And those words caused Peter to race with John to see the empty tomb for himself. Those arms, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ were arms of loving forgiveness reaching out to Peter, giving him hope. Daniel 9, verse 9 says, To the Lord our God, which would apply to the Lord Jesus Christ, belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. That's what the Lord is like. The word caused Peter to run and enter the empty tomb. Saw that it was empty. John beat him in the race. John was younger. But Peter was the first into the sepulcher. Peter being Peter. We speak of a private appearance to Peter. We're told in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5, that the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to Cephas, another name for Peter. The same appearance is mentioned in Luke 24 and verse 34. It would seem to have been a private appearance of Jesus to Peter on that very day of the resurrection. We're not told what passed between them. We do know, as a result of this gracious visit by the Lord to Peter, that Peter was indeed convinced, because he saw the risen Christ, that Christ was alive. And whatever passed between them in that visit, which we're not told, we do know that the Lord would later question the level of Peter's love for him. The Lord Jesus would appear to the 10 later disciples. Of course, Judas gone, and Thomas not present. Peter would have been there. Doesn't tell us anything relating to Peter. The following Sunday, he visited the 11 when Thomas was present, and Peter would have been present as well, but nothing pertaining to Peter there. And so we come to the chapter that I read from for you, and that is John chapter 21. And I would call this a public conversation with Peter. 7 of the disciples, Peter said, I'll go fishing. And so all 7 of them went fishing. Some are a little hard on Peter for saying that and doing that. I can't be hard on them. You know, when we look at these lives, I don't want Peter later on saying to me, now, George, remember when you were talking about me in the 21st chapter of John? Well, you weren't like some who wanted to be blaming Peter. The Lord Jesus had told them he was going to meet them there. They were there to meet the Lord Jesus, but they went fishing. And they caught nothing. And as the day was dawning, they heard this voice from the shore about 100 yards away, said in effect, did you catch anything? Did you get any food? Any meat? And they answered no. And he told them what to do. And we know what happened as a result of that. And it was John that realized it was the Lord. Either had been a similar situation where a whole raft of fishes, I believe Luke chapter 5, was caught at the Lord's direction. So the light went on with John. It's the Lord to Peter. And so Peter wasn't going to wait for the boat. He jumped in and was the first to shore. But we want to get down in the chapter, particularly to verse 15 and on down. You see, that private talk with Peter apparently didn't do the trick. But this seemed to be a public one. The other disciples there. And you have the Lord Jesus quizzing Peter about the level of his devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest, do you love me with an agape love?
That sacrificial love.
More than these. Who? The other disciples. That he had compared himself to in the upper room. Though all forsake you. Not I. Do you love me with a sacrificial love more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, you yourself know that I love you like a friend. Different word. And I love you like a friend. And Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16. He that is Jesus saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me with an agape love? Yea, Lord, you yourself know that I love you like a friend. Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. I wonder why he questioned the three times. Probably the three denials. Okay? Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me like a friend even? Use Peter's words. Peter's word there. And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me like a friend? And he said unto him, Lord, you yourself know all things. You yourself know that I love you like a friend. You see, the basic problem was Peter had an inflated concept of where he was in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he fell. And here's the Lord Jesus bringing this to light on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, speaking to Peter in this way. And to understand and summarize, and Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. We'll read verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkedest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, and this spake he, concerning what death he should die. He should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, Follow me. And what he was saying, in effect, was, Peter, your love for me is going to grow. There'll come a time when you will love me with that sacrificial love. And we know that Peter got the lesson. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, we have these words. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. loving like a friend, philo. See that ye love one another, agape, with a pure heart, fervently. And we know the history of Peter, of course, Pentecost, his service in the book of Acts, particularly to the Gentiles, the likes of Cornelius. A couple of books that bear his name in the Bible. And it's been reported that Peter indeed was crucified for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Crucified upside down. Not wanting to be crucified the same way as the Lord Jesus was crucified. Sacrificial love for the Lord Jesus. Yes, Peter fell. But even in his fallen condition, he was one of the sheep of Christ. Part of the flock. And this was the way of the Lord bringing him back into fuller in fellowship with himself. But he had to be humbled. That the Lord Jesus did here. There are many lessons for us in the life of Peter.